this is one that we've been trying to get on for about 5 years.
Fucking hell. I used to get an envelope, and 1 week it said, you owe me £10 on my envelope. I
remember Gary going, why are we buying this centre forward? That doesn't score goals. I went, yeah, but he can play right wing.
I've gone to turn to go at shower. Doors burst open. I've turned around. I'm fully naked. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
I'm fully naked, looking at you like this. And I'll tell you now, after that documentary, everybody, first question they asked me were, you know,
what
were it like to work with them two idiots? And I'd always say the same thing. Honestly, I said they were useless. Jordan.
Hello, pal.
Welcome back.
Well,
you've been working up roads. You've got steward's vest on.
You've already used it off camera.
Might as well use it on camera.
How was it go again? Sorry I'm late as well, by the way. A bit of traffic. And
I didn't know whether you like your missus, are you doing jobs or something before you come?
No.
You got on toast.
She was all right this morning, to be fair.
Yeah?
Yeah, I am on toast.
You were absolutely on toast. How was the caravan last week?
Yeah, good. The caravan's rocking, don't come knocking and all that, innit? But scored after
it's
it.
It's just weird when she's not in the caravan with you. You're on your own. And you scored as well next day.
Yeah, Ryland's 4-0 victory. And then we won on Tuesday and it means our guest has come on. So what more do you want from me?
And you've got 2-2.
2-2. Should have been 5-2, but...
I've heard you've got a new nickname. Nicky Adams told me.
Yeah, Weghorst, is it?
Yeah. Why is that?
Don't know. Some of a big donkey, I think.
Very good.
What have you been up to?
Nothing really this week. Just going to games again, checking in with the lads.
Is it Aki, weren't you?
Yeah, it was Aki versus Barra. Absolute classic. Literally,
you got that for free. Jesus.
It was literally just giving the ball away. Which team couldn't give the ball away as much? Won.
We
knew a draw. Both give it away. It was literally 1-2-3 pass, give it away, set back, 1-2-3, give it away. And it was just like that. It was, yeah, it weren't the greatest of games that I watched, but a couple of really good players on show.
Tell you what will be the greatest, this podcast.
This is one that we've been trying to get on for about 5 years.
Fucking hell.
And the only reason he's come on...
I don't know who he thinks he is.
So once an England manager comes on, it gives him, do you know what, I might come on.
He wanted more money than Big Sam as well.
And he's got it. But he's got it, don't you worry. He's got it. It's come out of your wages.
Do I have to sit here quietly or do I join in the conversation?
No, sit there.
No, I'm quite enjoying you being quiet. and I'm not being told off once. Go on, John. Do you want to introduce him?
Yeah, we tried getting the best non-league manager, but Burn couldn't come. So we've ended up with Anthony Johnson.
A.K.A. The Gaffer.
Gianna. How are you doing, boys?
How you doing, pal?
Good. I'm good.
Mate, it's absolute pleasure to have you on. We've been waiting long enough, haven't we?
I promised him, been asking me for a couple of years, but I said to him 6 weeks ago, we're going to pre-season, win our first two games, I'll come on. And it went to 3-2 the other night.
That shit myself.
I'm thinking, fuck, I have to get out of bed Thursday morning. But to be fair, now we...
He missed the sitter as well, did he?
Yeah. So it's 2-0 at half-time, dominated the game. 47th minute comes out, it's rolled across the box, nobody in the goal. I don't know how the fuck he's done it, guys. And to be fair, he could be pulled out of the shit and then 30 seconds later, we go up the other side, Sarge gets in 1v1, he does the exact same thing and you're thinking... And then they go up and score in the first shot. But we won the game. So a deal's a deal, I promised him. Glad to be on, yeah.
Very good. I think it'll be a real eye-opener for people who don't know you.
Yeah.
I do. Because, like we've discussed in the past, and I'll tell you now, like people, after that documentary, everybody, first question they asked me were, fucking hell. What were it like to work with them two idiots? And I'd always say the same thing. Honestly, I said they were fucking useless.
Big budget. They couldn't fail.
It's exactly how it's on TV. No, I would say, I was like, it's nothing like that. I said, like, they were so prepared for all the games. I said, the training was good. The tactics were good. I said, how they were portrayed on that documentary is nothing like they are in real life. Yes, they shout. Yes, they get the aggressiveness because they want to win. I said, that's the main thing. They want to win and they have all the lads with them. I said, and they will do anything to win a game and they want you on the pitch to do anything to win a game. And I said, but the preparation that went into it, their knowledge of them leagues and them players and how to get the best out of the players and the train, I said, was better than anybody that I'd worked with in non-league.
I appreciate that. That's nice.
No, that's
the thing anyone's ever said.
I didn't say that.
No. Imagine you would.
But it is though, because like, that's not how you are in real life, is it? How the documentary come across. So hopefully, as the story goes on, we'll get into that. But I tried to Google and find out where it all started and stuff like that. But I couldn't really see anything until you were 25.
Yeah.
And you and Bernard kind of took over at Rami. But you obviously played before that, did you?
Yeah. We was at Bury together, me and Bern, before you were there. People won't probably, well, unless you're a Bury fan, Bury were in what's now the Championship in the 90s. So under Stan Turner, before he left to go to Burnley, me and Burn would have been the youth system. So right. Burn was a year younger than me. So when I would have been like under 14s, 15s, obviously he was one behind. And at the time, as I said, they were flying. I remember a conversation, it would have been about 98, 97, 98. It was in the changing rooms and the head of the youth at the time was a fella called Brian Taylor. Don't know if you were there when you were there. And he said to us, it'll always stick with me because I'm a Bury fan. So it always stuck with me. And he stood there and he said, there'll be one of you in here this time next year that could be making your debut against United. So Bury were fifth, sixth in the playoffs, let's say, November in 98 in the Championship.
Yeah.
And United were dominating at the time. And you sat there thinking, this is so surreal. Because 6, 7 years before, they were in the bottom league. They're about to get relegated into non-league football. And then all of a sudden, they're at the higher end of the football league. Still only getting 3, 4, 5 thousand on watching. So that's where our story started. I'm talking for myself, but that's where my story started as a football player. Warren Joyce, you know Joycey?
Yeah, yeah.
He was at Salford. His dad, Walter, he was the main guy at Bury at the time of overseeing all the youth development phase. And Wayne Belston, who's still at Salford, they both left to go to United. And I thought, yeah, this is my big chance. No call came. So I stayed at Bury till I sort of school leaving age. I had a 2-year schoolboy form that we'd signed. Left at the time.
Did you know Bernard then? Were you mates or not?
No, I wouldn't say we're mates because he was a school year younger.
Right, okay.
So he was hanging around with lads your own age or trying to hang with lads
a little bit
older. We also know Steve Alford, you know, Ackers, who's on our coaching staff. He was another couple of years older than us.
Yeah.
So he was in the youth team at the time. So we was all at Bury at a similar time. But I knew who we was because you used to travel to the away games on the coach together.
Right.
So, and there was a lot of talk about Burn, you know, when we was younger, playing for a year and potentially making it. But as it transpired for me, I ended up leaving Bury just before the end of the season. I went down on trial to Mack, who at the time themselves were in League One.
Yeah.
It was when they had a couple of promotions, I think, under Sammy Mack.
What position were you?
Centre forward.
Was you?
Yeah.
Big, angry centre forward.
Big, aggressive.
Well, I wasn't that big back then, believe it or not. I was quick.
I don't believe it.
Raw. No, nobody does. So I was quite raw. I was quick and aggressive the way I played.
Yeah.
But technically, I wasn't good enough to ever make it at that sort of level. Maybe if they'd have been League Two at the time, I might have got a chance, but I didn't. So yeah. I left, went down to Mike, didn't work out, and I joined the army. So I essentially left home at 16-year-old to join the army.
What in the army?
I went into the Royal Horse Artillery, but it was an airborne unit that we went into.
Hey.
And listen.
Sorry.
So at the time, I went to the careers office in Bolton. I don't know if you went to the same thing when you was in the RAF.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it was in Bolton, the careers office. I remember going in there, not having a fucking clue where I was going. My dad's behind me. I was still in year 11 at school and there's a chap comes out, shakes me and I think, what the fuck's going on here? Sends you in, watch a video and there's all sorts going on and I'm thinking, and I weren't one of these that came from an army family where all I ever wanted to do was be a soldier. I'd just been shoved in and you're not going to make it as a footballer. Your results at school are shit. Off you go, son.
Yeah.
And I remember vividly coming out and he said, right, so what unit do you want to join? And I just remember Royal Horse Artillery sticking in me and I went, Royal Horse Artillery, didn't have a clue. I thought I was riding on a fucking horseback or something. It's a battle. So I literally, that's how it came about. So I joined the army. I was in for just short, about 3.5 years,
yeah.
Just short 4 years. Had some amazing times. Had some times that I fucking hated the bullshit side of it. Getting up at 5:30 in the morning. What for? They didn't really fucking know. They just wanted to get up to iron your gear and then
stand
go
by
out.
Your bed. Yeah,
just a load of bullshit. Yeah. And I couldn't deal with the bullshit, if I'm honest with you, which is quite mad when you think I'm quite a big disciplinarian now.
Yeah.
Back then I was like, what is all this nonsense that we're doing for the sake of doing it? So we had some great times, but I didn't play football then for 2 or 3 years.
Right, so you didn't play football in the army?
Not really. And I should have done. Used to play with the lads 5-a-side and that, but I should have really signed up to that type of stuff, and I didn't.
Gets you out of a lot of things, that as well.
Well, my brother went in after me, and he signed up to like boxing, skiing, and he was all over the fucking world.
Your dad just wanted you out of the house.
That's all he wanted. Your brother had a fucking clue what we're doing. Not a clue. Just thought I was going to war on the back of an horse. But believe it or not, the thing I signed up to was to work in a service bay. So the wagons and all the military vehicles that came in. My granddad was a mechanic, so he used to love being under cars and stuff. So that's what I signed up to. And that was my job. You have a job in the army, 9 to 5 type of thing. Get out, go and work, and I go back. So that was my job. I fucking loved it. Loved every single minute of it. So I was in there for sort of 3.5 years. And then when I came outside, I started playing with my pals again, amateur football level. And I was a decent player. As I say, I was aggressive.
Yeah.
Got picked up, played a bit of North West Counties for a couple of years. I've had some calls, played for Salford. Did really well there.
I didn't know you played for Salford.
Salford in 2003.
Right.
Did really well, got a move, went to Mosley. It's mad to talk like that to say. For me, it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the time, leaving Salford to go to Mosley was a massive move. It was a big deal for me. And I always said the same thing. I was getting my first wage from football. I got 30 quid a week. I couldn't fucking believe it that people were paying me and paying to watch me play football when sort of a few months before I was paying subs and putting nets up. And then all of a sudden people are paying through a turnstile to watch fucking Anthony Judd be shit at football. So I sort of bounced around.
It was all in there.
And I bounced around. And at the time, when you think about the money that lads are getting paid at our level now, it's incredible.
Yeah.
For fucking a load of shit, by the way. But at the time, at the time, his first wage at Ramy would have been 40 or quid a week.
Which is still overpaid.
Well overpaid.
No, I used to get an envelope, and one week it said, you owe me £10 on my envelope, because I'd had a booking and I had to pay for fucking end of season due.
I got an envelope with £2 in it because of my fines. So whatever the fines had accumulated, I had £2 coins in a fucking envelope. Just give me the cash.
Yeah.
Save the trees. So I sort of bounced around and I was bad, to be honest with you, I was bad for moving for a tenner here and there.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, I was terrible. Someone offered to show me a bit of leg. Yeah, and I love the flattering side of it. You're a good player, I'm coming there. Extra tenner, yeah. So I bounced around to be at Cliverhill, Mosley, Cole, Salford, and then settled at Ramy. Ended up living in Ramy, not far from where you've got the shop.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where my sort of football career started at that type of level. But there was a bit of a gap when I came out of the army to sort of start in probably at that type of level. I met me who's my wife now. I've been with her 20 years. So I had a year of just sort of being a fucking terror, if I'm honest with you. You know, doing all sorts of anything that weren't good. Because I didn't know any different.
It's that transition out of the army into civilian life, isn't it? 100%. It's hard.
Nobody teaches you nothing.
No, it's hard.
Not that you have to be taught what's right and wrong, by the way, at the age of 20, 21.
You was doing some wrong things as well.
No, but when you're in the army, everything's structured in it. It's like, I know it's a silly thing to say, but same as a pro footballer, you're told where to be, what time, and everything's structured for you. So when you come out of the military, people find it hard, don't they? Because
it was hard. And
everyone knows not to shit in a pint glass in the pub. that's nothing the army.
You're still doing that, are you? But they were the type of things that you thought were normal.
No, but that's lads bantering in the military.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
everybody does.
So that story came. So I've done a shit in a pint pot in the local boozer. But what I'd done is I'd rolled it under the seat, sat there for an hour or two, goes to the next pub. It was 24 hours late when I get a call at home saying I was bad from the local. The cleaner had gone in cleaning up and they got fuckish. And then someone's grasped me up and that's how that part come out. But listen.
But I've told a story on here. So we used to play, I've not played it a lot of times. Remember Freckles? I've mentioned Freckles on here before. So it was the stuff that we used to do in the RAF where you'd be in the pub. Someone had shit in an ashtray and you'd all put your chin on the table. Yeah, like that, all in a circle, and someone would slam a pint glass down and the one who had the most freckles had to get the round in. But that was the stuff that they did. Yeah,
oh, people listening to this will go, and it's not normal, by the way.
But no, it's not. But it's, in the military, it's
what you fucking did every weekend.
Yeah, and if you didn't do it, you weren't part of that gang.
100%, 100%. I lost count of times climbing into your fucking bed at night. Yeah. Someone had done a shit in it. And you couldn't be bothered because it was warm and you just rolled over a little bit.
Right, everyone. Thanks again to Sky Fantasy Football for sponsoring the podcast. Obviously, you can still join our league if you want to come up against us. I suppose the big advantage of joining now is that everyone knows the starting teams, don't they?
Yeah,
starting 11.
We're so done with that, to be honest.
Yeah, how was our team getting on?
Half of them didn't play. We're 229th out of 308. So,
well done, Corey.
Cheers, Corey.
Told you we're going to be crap. So, yeah, you've not really got much to beat. So come and join us.
Just join, you'll be beating us.
But it's just the normal times. Yeah, so that year of coming out of the army to meeting the wife who put me on the straight and narrow was just me just being a bit of a dick. Go back to, you think about your uni days where you had your mad times. That were mine.
Yeah.
So going like over to places like Canada where you used to sign for money and they used to just give you the cash. There was no limit on it. I remember coming home and I was like, ready to get my wage for Christmas, December wage. And we owed them like 200 quid. But that happened like January, February. I spent that much money on the piss for 4 or 5 weeks in Canada that I had no money for 3 months. So you used to have to go and knock on doors. I've got no money. And they'd loan you more money. So my wage was constantly down, but that was my time of enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? We didn't have student loans. We just loaned off them and they took it back out of your wage. You should go and give your army number. And they said, yeah, there's $200 or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
So then when I came out, that was, it wasn't something I planned to do. It was just, I've got a job. I need to earn a little bit of money. So I'd go down Bury New Road and cheat a mill and buy a load of swag and sell it to the lads. And that was my life. I didn't know any different. I was buying and selling cars. Going to the auction, buy 4 or 5 cars for a grand, and hopefully make a few, you know, turn them over and make a few hundred quid. That was how I lived. And then I met the missus, moved to Rami, signed for Rami, had a couple of good years there, settled down a little bit, went to Clearow, and that's where I met Burn. So that had been, I think it was 2008. Burn was at Rosendale. And he came over when we were there. So me, Burn, Carl Lomax was there at the time. We had a fucking top side. And actually our manager, well, we had joint manager at the time. One of them was Neil Reynolds, the FC United manager.
Right.
He was like 27, 28 back then. Great fucking bloke to play for. But really ironic, really, that we played for joint manager and it just never fucking worked at the time. And then the year after, we became joint managers at Rami.
Yeah.
So that's how we sort of really got to know each other.
Because did you break your leg? Was you injured?
Yeah.
And then the manager's job were coming up at Rami. And I've read somewhere that Byrne went, John, we could do that. And you was like, don't.
So what happened was, it got to about, so was it Clitheroe we were flying? It was when Halifax was in Clitheroe's league. They just restarted.
Yeah.
We had a top side, Gaz Stopforth was there. Big Johnny Smith, chief scout at Stockport. So we had a really good team. And for whatever reason, it went a bit wrong after Christmas. I won't get into to the X-rated stuff, but certain things happened. Yeah. I'll do that when I retire. I'll tell you all them stories. But Byrne ended up leaving the club in January and went playing locally and ended up back at Rami. So at the end of that season, I got him going in for a tackle. I was centre forward. You should never go in for fucking tackles. Yeah. Just elbow and head things. Went in for a tackle and I broke my ankle. Didn't play the rest of the season. And I went watching Rami. And I went on contract back then, so they didn't used to pay you no matter what. So I went up there, they're not paying me. I'll go and watch Rami. Byrne was playing a little bit. And they were fucking absolutely dreadful, terrible. And Byrne started going on about, we'd go for a drink and Byrne would go, we could do that job. So it was Byrne's, fucking all this, what we've been doing for the last 15 years, all Byrne's fault. People are probably thinking it would be my type of idea. It wasn't.
I would.
I know. So he's gone, let's go and have a chat. And I've gone, about what? We've climbed out of that league. I'm playing the league above now and I don't really want to do it. I've been there and done it, been up to that level. So we go and see Harry. So he's with Chris Woolley, Chris Wolford. Remember Chris with a white hair? He's with him and they were either planting daffodils or fucking painting like they are. Burning weed, something like that. It's burning weed, it sounds wrong. That they weren't doing that. I mean,
the weeds inside the concrete,
And like he does in every fashion, like, what do you two mongrels want? Because we played there in the past, so they've known us since we were kids. And we gone. And Burn went, we want the job. And I'm still looking, thinking, do we?
Do we really?
What do you mean? Burn in mind, Burn's 24 and I'm 25.
He's young, isn't it? Well young.
Ridiculous.
You should have 10 years more of playing.
I know. But that's how shit I was. So I thought you had to get into it quick.
Because I must admit, when I came to Salford, I were older than you.
Yeah.
Which I found weird. Well, there was you, weird.
Webbs, Linney.
Yeah, we're all older Jason, than you.
You were all, the lads that were at the club were all older than us.
Yeah.
Listen, when we started managing at Ramy, Baz Massey, you knew Barry Massey is.
Yeah, yeah.
He was playing for us. So we were 24 and 25. He was 42. Oh. Same age as my fucking dad.
It's a bad sign, isn't that?
Yeah. Fucking hell, don't say that. I'll come after you. I hope you this. Fucking hell. Yeah. But so, yeah, literally everyone was older than us, Gaz, yeah, at the time. Do you know what I mean? When we started. So
did you find that hard or not?
No, not at all.
Because was that an advantage because you could bond and get on with the lads?
I think it was more the fact that we had no sort of inhibitions and no insecurities. So you could have looked at all the lads and go, well, if we shit in, we start bad, they could get the job. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I just wanted the best players in the building.
Yeah.
I had no coaching badges. I didn't want to know how to put a fucking session on. Didn't know any players really, apart from the lads we played with. Not got any scouts. So people came and played for us because of who we were and what we were like. Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Do you know Pilkey, Joe Pilkington?
Yeah, yeah.
Pilkey came and played for us. He was a massive sign at the time. He'd have been 23, 24, dropped down from Clitheroe, played for us. But that was because of how we'd been with him at Clitheroe. He must have thought we were decent lads.
Yeah.
He found out later we weren't. But he came and signed. Them type of players played for us because of who we were, not because of what we'd done in the game, if that makes sense. So to answer the question, really, I suppose, I didn't care how old you were, whether you were Phil Dean, Wizard.
Yeah.
He signed for us, just left school, 16, 17-year-old. And then we had Baz Massey at the other end of the chain, who was enough to be Wizard's granddad.
Yeah.
But fucking nearly mid-40s. So it didn't matter to us.
Did you join start of the season or midway through? Or
so what had happened was, their last game of the season, they were playing Bay Cup away. So Bay Cup had 14 games to play in fucking 4 weeks or something like that. It was ridiculous. So they were playing like mid-May. The season had ended weeks before, and Ramy had to play a Bay Cup on a Friday night. So went up to watch, and they got beat 6-2. And John Robinson, do you know Robbo? You know.
Yeah.
He's got hat-trick against them. So during the game, I'm still with Harry. And I said, that's one of the lads, if we got the job, we'd bring in. Fucking blagging.
Yeah, totally lying. Don't even know him.
So they get beat. Well, I played with him at Salford previously, top player. So I goes in a bar after the game, and it was like this. So I'm sat down, like called Topo, Malk, who was Topo, and they were both, and I really just leant over the table, and he went, congratulations, you've got the job. Now, at the time, Paul Williams was a caretaker manager. So I've got a caveat with, the only reason we said we wanted the job was because he was a caretaker manager. So Andy Feely had been manager. He left. Paul Williams took it up as a caretaker role. So it was up. The job was up, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. But he hadn't told Paul until the next point. So I'm sat like this. Harry's there around this table in Bake Up, and Paul comes in, and he's gone, what do you think? And he's gone, you'll beat fucking 6-2, cock. What do you think? He's gone, well, what about next season? He went, there's no next season. He said, that's the new manager there. And he's looking at me, and he tried to sign me a few weeks before I broke my leg, because Byrne was there, and I'm fucking sliding down this chair. No, you've not done this. And I'm on phone to Paul going, yeah, I might sign for you, yeah. Knowing that, we'd already gone, if the job becomes available,
we'll take it
type of thing. So Willow goes out, and Byrne comes in. It's fucking horrible, isn't it? I'm getting hot sweats thinking about it. Byrne comes in, and he's looking at me, and I'm that big fucking grin on my face, and he's gone, and I've gone, got the job. And he's gone, yeah. And that was it. So that's the start of the journey. So that was like May 2009. I went on holiday the day after. They came back, and then you start from scratch. Not having a fucking clue, Gaz. We just absolutely winged it. But as I said, signing lads that played for us in the past at Clitheroe or whatever, Carl Lomax came down, and they were top players. They shouldn't have been playing at the level, but it weren't because.
And did you have to work out? You have to work out your budget and how much you could pay them and all.
Our budget was £600 a week,
right,
for everybody. That was the second season. It was £500 a week for everybody. Me, Bert.
Does that work out about 25 quid a month? Yeah. Something like that.
He took 250 as well.
It was, and it's what you know me. You both know what I'm fucking like. I had to take a 50% pay cut to take the job as a manager because at Clitheroe I was earning what I thought back then was decent. Yeah, I think it was 100 quid a week. I couldn't believe, believe someone's paying me £400 a fucking month to play football. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we've got to take 50 quid a week out of it. And we're paying the lads sort of 25, 30 quid.
And were you playing managers as well?
Yeah, well, that was, I think that was his big selling point.
Right.
Or our big selling point to him was he was getting two players from a level above for the price.
So were you both playing at the same time?
Yeah.
And there was no one?
Yeah. Well, no, we had John Hunter who came in. So John Hunter was, do you remember John? John used to be like an assistant manager to Eddie Moran, top coach, was a UFAB at the time, and an older fella. So he was in like his 40s, 50s. So very mature, compared to what we were.
Yeah.
Which was very immature.
And they were doing the coaching. And
so he did the coaching, which was fine. It was, wait, put corns out. I don't know what the fuck he did, but like, yeah, this will do. Yeah, it looks right.
Looks good.
Feels right. Yeah. So game one, Burn was banned carrying on from the season before. Don't so Bazmas is up front. Yeah. No surprise. Bazmas is up front. I played centre mid. Never played centre mid in my life before or after. First game of us, I played centre mid. We get beat 5-0.
Oh.
Now, this team went and won 28 games on a bounce from game one. Newcastle Town, it's never, it was like some sort of world record at the time. So at the time you're thinking, I remember going and seeing Harry, I said, Harry, I don't think it's for us. And Burns going, what the fuck are you going on about? We've just took it over. And then, like I said, they went and won. It was done by fucking December. They won the league. I was always like that anyway.
Right.
Because I thought, I want to be playing at the best level. Like I was in an half-decent team. I could have moved on. Danny Johnson, Ashton, the league above, I've been talking to about moving. Yeah, instead, yeah. I end up essentially dropping two to go and do it. And he's going, stop being a soft. It is what it is. We'll learn from it. Game two, plays Glossop at home. So Saturday, Tuesday, like we've just done now. They just got to the fucking FA Vars final 4 months before.
Yeah.
And we drew 2-2, and then we were on a run. Didn't lose for fucking 10, 12 games, end up in the top three. But at the time, like I said, the top side won every game.
Yeah.
And there was another team called New Mills. So the first year, we finished fourth, which was a 10-year high for the football club. I was playing. So I was one of the top scorers in the league. I think it was about the 10th of December. I think it was on 14 or 15 goals. Coming back from a broken leg.
Yeah.
We played Main Road on a Tuesday night just before Christmas. I broke my other leg.
No way.
Kieran Trippier were watching the game. So I'm playing up top. I've just scored. We were winning 1-0. The right back gets the ball, starts travelling up the pitch. I goes in to put a tackle. It's a fucking divot instead of the man. Snap my leg. Just like completely bent over my leg. So Andy Edmondson comes on the pitch. Bernard's there. Kieran jumps over, gets me on a stretcher. So Kieran was a young kid at the time at City. Obviously, one of your best pals. So it gets us on the fucking stretcher. Andy Edmondson fucking drops me. So it's December. The pitch is fucking muddy. I've got a broken leg and I've just fucking rolled off this stretcher. And everyone's laughing whilst I'm sort of screaming in pain with my leg. So that was it then. That was sort of, from my playing days, that was really it.
Was that one of your last games then?
Yeah. I played a few times afterwards, yeah. but I never did the rehab because we didn't have anyone to help me with. You get lazy. I'm also the manager, so I'm getting paid no matter what was there in the dugout.
Yeah.
And I was on crutches for the next sort of 3-4 months. And that big sort of became the beginning of the end of me sort of going into the dugout. So when you were asking about did we both play, we did. Because we're arguably the best players. Bernard was fucking running the show. That was one of the reasons. Bernard's very chilled, innit?
Yeah.
But I was like, fucking he's shit and he's crap. Make that sub there. And you could see the players and John on the sideline. Even Bernard were probably thinking,
it's difficult to manage on the pitch, isn't it?
Yeah.
So aggressive as well.
Yes, yeah, 100% that. But yeah,
you're playing, you're in that
even
aggressive
more so.
Mode. Yeah, yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, on the sidelines, you'd obviously...
Exactly the same.
Yeah. No, but you learn, don't you, over years and time, like, how to control it a bit more so.
And actually, I think coming off the pitch, you bang on, you play aggressively, you're in a mindset of win, 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 win standards. Yeah. So I'm looking at everyone else.
And
I was playing well, by the way.
Because
I was scoring.
Yeah.
I was like, I could tell anyone what I wanted. But you can't. These lads, the West Bolts one wasn't right. Anyway, I went to the dugout.
I wish I'd have known this when I were at Salford, because when I was scoring up goals and I were bollocking the lads, you bollocked me.
Yeah, 100%. Because I'd learned that from them guys.
Yeah, you need to knock the big timers on the head.
Yeah, that's exactly what 100%. It was. But I was the big timer, unfortunately, and the player manager.
Yeah.
So that was the end of that first season. It was probably the year where I learned the most about myself. Not about a coach or manager, just as what type of person I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean by that?
Did you start to understand a little bit more about the like man management of being a manager, if that makes sense? So like how to speak to players, how to get the best reaction out of them, because you probably thought on the pitch I can't be shouting and saying the stuff that I'm saying,
definitely,
because them lads are going to turn against me
off the pitch. Saying, you're crap
yeah. You're not good enough, all of a sudden them lads go, well, I'm not playing for it.
100%. So I think that was that year where it was basically that, you're crap, you're shit, that's not good enough. And to an extent, I'm still like that now, you know.
Except you're just not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Just say it a different way. Yeah.
Although he got told he was shit a couple of times overnight with them misses. So I still let him know. But I think I got to the point where you bang on about the man management, where I was starting to think about the emotion side of things, yeah, the empathy side of things. How do they feel? And lads were coming to me going, not mind speaking to me like that. Yeah. And it was like, fucking, yeah.
Thought you liked me.
But it was, and how I tried to justify it to myself was, I'm just holding you to a set of standards. Because we finished fourth in our first season and we did well, we didn't sort of come late. We were up in the top three most of the season. I thought, fucking hell, we're all right at this here. Start to believe our own hype, or I believe my own hype.
It's not just that. So, like, what one thing I'll go back to right at the start of the podcast, I think you, especially you, more than Bernard, had really, really high standards.
Yeah.
As in, like, you set a standard. That's how you train. Every single time you turn up, you train like that. If you don't train like that, you'll be out.
Yeah.
And during this podcast and over the years, every single successful manager has them.
Yeah.
Standards. Because I think if you don't, lads, you lose that credibility with the lads, because lads, we don't need to quite put that 100% in. So I think you've always had high standards, and when people see the passion and the aggression, it's because of the high standards and you want to win as well.
And it came from that first season of, so you got to remember, for the first year or two, Burn was primarily playing. Obviously, picked the team and did everything that we normally do together, apart from he was on. Now, he might be playing and come over to the dugout and go, listen, this been working, you've not seen this. And right, Sam will do that. But he was playing for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
As I say, he was our best player, so he had to play. So it was after that where I thought, we'll probably get to Christmas, we're top three in that first year, and you're going, we're not bad here. And actually, if we push fucking lads a bit harder,
yeah,
we've got a chance of winning the league. We didn't really, because that team fucking ran away with it. But the point I'm trying to make was going back to, you make a good point about standards. The minute I weren't on at yous, as a manager, I'd probably given up. That was my way of going, you're not listening, you're not taking it on board, yeah, you can't live to the standards that we expect of the culture we're trying to create within the football club. Yeah. And it was the same with everyone, you know that. It wasn't like, I give it you, or I give it you. Everybody was expected to have the same set of standards.
Yeah.
And what I got to, I think, in every changing room that me and Burn had, was that you all held each other to standards as well. So it meant we could knock a little bit of edging off ourselves. So that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the time now, we've won at the changing room at half time, full time. Just stand there 5 minutes, let them fucking sort it out amongst themselves. Yeah. And then you have a bit of a conversation, you go out. But early in our careers, it was about holding them to them standards. Yeah. How do you do that? Well, my way was being aggressive, being assertive, making sure they understood that if you didn't step up, you wouldn't play. If you didn't train as you expected to play, you didn't play. And you know how we work. There was no sort of grey area with that.
The lads got a shock at Aviay, didn't they? Not Aviay, Cheadle Town this year.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
well, you nearly started laughing, you mean?
Some of the lads, mate, he come in, gone mad. And some of the lads had never seen it before. I was looking around thinking, wow, they are absolutely was
tiny.
Bobby, they were shitting it.
So this is pre-season. So Burn always talks first because he's calm, he's chill, and he gets his message across. I can fucking scream, shout, and I start spitting, and people are looking, I don't even know what he's saying. Yeah, they're just not in their head. They don't know what I'm on about. So Burn always speak first to get his clear message across, and I'm in fucking shower because I couldn't fit in.
Yeah.
Fucking 16 stone, 6 foot one, I couldn't fit through the bit. And I'm fucking going and going because we it was just basic stuff. We talked about recovery runs. I'm not bothered about the score. It's pre-season. I'm talking about recovery runs, talking about winning duels, 50-50s, all the stuff, effort.
Yeah.
The things that you can control that we weren't at it. And I thought, and it was premeditated. It was premeditated a lot of the time because I just think sometimes I just need that kick up the ass.
Yeah.
So I've just come fucking out all guns blazing. And they literally jumped. I was like, fuck, they must have thought, what the fuck? It's still June, early July. And he's like, got that face in him where he knew, must have known it was coming, or he'd seen it, or he'd look caught eye contact with Bernard.
I seen it. Bern was in the shower and he just went, I was like,
and I'm looking at him, and then I had to look away because a lot of it was manufactured at this point.
Yeah, so that's really good point that people will understand. Sometimes they'll see you go off on one, and a lot of it is premeditated. It's controlled, isn't it? It's to get a reaction,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Of course
it
is, yeah. In the early days, it weren't. It was, why are we getting fucking beat 3-0? Because we're shit, gaffer. That's why, because you set us up in a fucking formation, which is doomed to fail. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a 2-4-4. Away from home. That's why.
Yeah.
And I used to then scream and shout because of them when it was our fault, or my fault
as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas now, and as you get older, I'm now a middle-aged man. So if I've not learned things over the years, then what am I doing in the game? And I'm massive on reflection. So big on reflection of looking back. Me and Burn probably speak to each other on average an hour a day even now, after all these years, despite seeing each other 3-4 times a week, we still speak that often on the phone about the game, about reflection, about what we should have done, what we could do going forward, what does training look like. So I'm big on that. I've always been big on that. And it's mad when you've got your best pal in the dugout in the changing room with you, how you see him change and how he's come out of his shell and how he stepped out of his comfort zones. You don't really see it in yourself because you've got to dig deep, but you see it in other people. Do you get what I mean by that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So I see a lot of that with Burnham coaching staff and different people. Luke Clark, who's now stepping up to do a lot of the coaching. So that was year one. Year two, again, I'm not going to go through the entire season of what it looked like, but it was a bit of a, at the end of that first year, remember Matt Edgy? We had Matt Edgy.
Yeah.
He played for us at the time.
Yeah.
He had that. He nearly died, didn't he?
Yeah,
he was in a coma for 6-7 weeks.
Yeah.
So we had that to contend with. Again, we're 24, 25 year old.
Yeah.
Nobody gives you a training course in, well, they do now, in management. Back then, in the Northwest Counties, they fucking don't.
No.
It's, you wanted the job, here it is. Do it your way.
Sink or swim, innit?
And when people are, one of your players who plays every week for you, it doesn't matter if they're one of your better players or not, he's fighting for his life in hospital.
Yeah.
You haven't got a fucking clue how to deal with that. You don't know how to give that message to the group of players or anything like that. So you're learning on the job. Everything's experience, and that's how you get better from it. So then year two, we finished second. So the team that finished second won it. So we all moved up one. We went from finishing fourth to second, sorry. And they won it. And then the third year was when we started to really get to grips with management, the recruitment side of things, the coaching side of things. We made some really good signings, lads that we'd sort of had watched, been told about, had reports on. Gaz Stopforth, Danny Warrender, Jordan. We'd probably been out to watch Jordan 3 or 4 times personally.
Right.
He was playing right back in one game, then he was playing right wing, then he played up top. But I saw in him, at 18, 19 year old, what you was essentially very good at, not goal scoring. I'm talking about the hold up play, the bringing others into play. He had a knack of, and even now, I don't know how he does it because he's got a weird fucking body shape. And if my little girl who's 11 had an arm wrestle with him, she'd blitz him. But how he holds the ball up and can pin a centre half.
Yeah.
Never seen anyone do it like him at the level of football.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw that early doors. But actually, we ended up playing him on the right side because we had John Robinson, who I talked about, who scored the hat-trick against Bacon and Lee Gaskell. These lads scored 250 goals between them for Ramsey.
Lee Gaskell was a top player for you, weren't he?
What a
the weirdest. We did a pre-season run once. He turned up in Toms. He did him in Toms. I was going around the track. You could just hear his little Toms.
And then the week after, he turned up because his Toms had ripped in his Copas. We're going for a run around Bury on the roads in his Copas. And he didn't give a fuck.
He
was such a good player though, weren't he? Scored a lot of good goals.
He'd turn up to the game and he'd have his trainers on like this and he'd take his lace out and he'd fucking tie his own with his lace. Weren't making a big deal of it. It was just his thing. And he'd go and play football with his shoelace and his fucking in his
head. Like a headband.
Yeah. But he was maddest, how good was he?
Yeah, he was so sound as well.
He was fucking brilliant.
He's a top lad, yeah.
Oh, he's a great lad. Yeah. So we had him and Robbo at top. Scoring 30 goals each a season. We had Wizard on the left scoring 20 goals. So this donkey was end up playing at right back or right midfield. But then ended up we took the Salford job. Obviously, I'll go back to the Ramy stuff in a minute, but we took the Salford job and ended up buying him.
Yeah.
I think we paid $2,500 for him at the time, which was Ramy never saw the player.
$2,500.
Yeah. And with $2,500 if we won promotion, which we did. So it ended up being $5,000. And I remember Gary saying,
yeah.
I remember Gary going, why are we buying this centre forward that doesn't score goals? I went, yeah, but he can play right wing.
And right back.
Yeah, right back and everything else.
First game at Bambi, he put me on the right. I was like, you've signed me to play up top? He's like, but we've got Seddon and Webber.
Up top, that's why you played there. It was the same story as what happened at Ramy. But the point I was trying to make about that final season, we won the league in our third year.
So every year you'd got better as well, which is a big thing as well.
So incrementally getting better.
Yeah.
And a little bit due to us, but 90% of it because of the players we were bringing in. You're only as good as your players, Gaz. At any level of football, Pep Guardiola is as good as he is because of the players he can coach. And it's all relative. So and our job at that level, really, because you're only getting a couple of hours a week with them, is managing them.
Yeah.
Motivating them, leading them, getting them to believe in what you're
standards,
saying. Standards, all that type of stuff. Yeah. Our thing, as you both know, was intensity.
Yeah,
everything was intense, whether it be in the changing room, on the training pitch, warm, everything was intense. Sometimes to the point where it was probably detrimental, where it made us fucking ill. The lads were blown up with fucking 10 minutes because it was just relentless.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, you learn from that type of stuff. So We started get a knack of having an eye for a player and knowing and understanding how he would fit into what you were trying to do. Because no point signing four number nines who were all goal scorers, because then what you end up doing is playing them all across the front line.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. So you little details.
Because that's what's different as well, because like you wouldn't have been on that much money.
No.
And you were going out. And you were going out watching players. Like you had no real scouts really. You didn't have a recruitment team, did you? That's you and Bernard turning up on a weeknight, going watching non-league football and learning about the players, isn't it?
Well, we had a scout, Jocker. Stuart Johnson, he's a good friend of mine. He's 78-year-old. He came the other night. Yeah. Known him since I was a kid. I love the man to bits. He's a local legend as a football manager. He used to do a report, handwritten report, and you'd be like, fuck it, that was War and Peace. But he understood what we were looking for.
Yeah.
So you just have to get to the point of where, fucking hell, where's that bit about yes his first touch? Yeah. And then you go out, and we did things properly. We wouldn't sign people out on a whim. So we'll go out and then watch him. So Burmat, I'd be having to train on the tune. I go and watch him. We might have a game called off on the Saturday. We go and watch him, and I'm using him as the example because Saturday.
Yeah.
So all them things started to come together. We then won promotion. We won the North West Counties. You ever told the story about where you get your knees dirty because you're on the team?
Because I was on the bench.
The last game of the season when we won the league at North West Counties, played Winsford at home. We won 5-2. He didn't get on the pitch. So
what, sub not used?
Sub not used. So as the lads are all getting ready, going mad, he's at fucking background over here in the dirt, rubbing up his knees, takes his pads out of his socks, and he stood there celebrating, pretending he'd been involved.
So on all the pictures, it looked like you'd been involved.
I was in that, messed my hair up and everything. So.
Dirtied your knees.
Dirty knees on it. Horrendous. And he could party with the best of them. So tonight, you'd think he'd scored a hat trick in last game. He only started 3 or 4 games. But back then, again, I don't know if you've told the story, I used to have to take him to work with me on a Friday night. So I used to drive a wagon. I used to deliver spuds for a living, didn't I?
Right.
So chips. Fresher cut, that's what I used to do. So I used to have to work 6 days a week. So because they were fresh, they had to be in the fridge. So instead of doing a Saturday because of football, I did it on a Friday night. So I'd work Friday, go home, have my tea, and then go out in the van or the wagon, depending on what we had on the Friday night. Well, this fucking cannon would be going out, wouldn't it?
But so you were worried about him going out on a Friday night?
Yeah,
worried. He did exactly what he was fucking doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know, like, listen, the one thing, we talk about standards. If I found out you'd been out, you were fucked. You were done. But because of his background, his age, he's one of the younger lads, he'd come out of uni, we understood it.
Yeah.
And he worked in the fucking team, so it didn't really matter.
Just there to make the numbers up.
But it was getting to the point where he was doing well. And it goes back to this of pushing people as hard as you can to get the best out of them. So on a Friday night, I used to pay him out of my own pocket. I used to give him, I think, what are yours, 20, 30 quid?
There was a Chinese on the way there, 30 quid in cash, and an Indian on the way back.
which about 50 quid?
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, for about 4 hours work.
Oh, the best night ever.
So
last,
we used to get in a wagon. So you like it's a fridge wagon on the back, and then go over to Yorkshire, ride over to York, round fucking Yorkshire, Otley, all them type of places, and then bring him home. So anytime I went somewhere, there was a fucking chippy yet to go back door. But it was in a builder's yard and they had a fucking guard dog in it. So it spikes on top, so I made him jump over and tell him. And he could hear this, what's that noise? And this fucking dog barking in it back and I'm throwing these chips over the fucking fence. And he's running as fast as he could.
I shit myself, like, you won't believe
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. So they like backpack these chips. I'm fucking throwing them. They're all bursting. He's just fucking throwing them in. So I used to have to take him out on a Friday night. Just to keep
him in check.
Yeah. And then on a Saturday, he was shit anyway because he was knackered. We weren't getting to laugh.
And he had a Chinese, so had an Indian.
It was the balance.
We used to talk about it that much and how good it was. Like buzzing on a Saturday. Like, Wizard come with us one day. Yeah. Someone else wanted to come with us.
It's just a fucking cab full of lads. Fucking, I know it looked wrong. Good job, you were all fucking at the right age. They got fucking pulled over.
But once again, that's all, but you're only doing it to keep the standards up, aren't you?
Of course.
You're doing it because you want the lads to do well and you want them to be in the right kind of frame of mind on the Saturday. They're not hungover. Yes, they've been out, they've had food and they've spent, but they're not drinking, they're not getting into trouble.
I think that's the
one thing.
You're
looking after them in a way, aren't you?
More at Ramy than anywhere else, because as you go up the leagues, when we come to Salford, there's you, there's Webbs, Jason, Linney, maybe not Linney. You're all a bit more professional. You all did the right things. Yeah. That's why I said not Linney.
Yeah.
You all did the right things. Whereas these lads were learning on the job, as we were.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did what we thought was right. Might not have been the right thing, but we did what we thought was right. Now, I could go into a changing room over the last 3 or 4 years with Alisson, Jordan, Scott Burton, Gaz Stopforth. Don't have to say anything because they're now, like, this boring fucker now, how he's changed from where he was.
Protein shake after a game. And
maybe not that. He still has a pint.
Not gone too far.
Yeah. Fucking hell, he's that professional. But just doing the right thing, looking after himself, not ruining his body like he used to do. But
not going out, staying in the caravan Friday.
I wonder what that tweet was about. So gone chilling out in caravan last weekend. You need to.
It was chilled.
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's what you should be doing. Well done. Should have done that. I should have bought you a caravan instead of taking you to work on a Friday. I won bingo. Or Phoenix.
I won bingo.
Did you? £25 house.
Oh, it's not fucking better, is there?
No, after caravan a false weekend. Call. Some woman shouted house, and the guy went, "You fucking three numbers off you, that bitch. Give it a back." And then I won
that. Then you won it.
Yeah. Belting.
So we
bought that top way.
So that was, yeah, last prize. So it was just about trying to teach people what we thought was right. So by the time we come away from Rami, so we went to two promotions with Rami.
Yeah. How did you get the phone call then for?
Well, that year we won the league. That year we won the league. We beat Salford in the FA Cup. So Salford in the league above. And we beat them on a Friday night. It was a big fucking, real big deal. No, it was well before him. Jack Redshaw was only a kid. He was playing up front for him. And we beat them 2-1 at last minute. It was mad because it was Friday. It was about 300 or 400 on. The FA Cup had come down because it was one of the early ones. And after the game, so we'd finished fourth, second, and we were top at league and we played them. And the chairman at the time, which was Darren Quick, who still goes down there now.
Yeah.
Great bloke. And all the committee who were still there now were there then. And they were saying, "Well, listen, if you ever fancied it." Rodders was the manager at the time, Rodri Giggs.
Yeah.
And they said, "Listen, if it never works out, would you be interested?" And we've gone, we're dead happy doing what we're doing. So wins the league the year after, we get to promotion and we missed out on the last game of the season. But we'd had an amazing FA Cup run again, an amazing FA Trophy run. We played last game of the season, we needed a point. We're playing Skem, who needed a point to get 100 points. They were winning the league. We needed a point to get in the playoffs. They needed a point to win the league. 90th minute, we're winning 2-1. Gets beat 3-2.
Oh.
Akka's our coach. He's the manager of Mosley. They scored in the last minute and flipped places with us. Right. And lads, this is how far I knew we came, was because lads were crying. Lads are in the changing room, and you're thinking, fuck me, they're all getting pissed 18 months ago on a Friday night. They're now crying that not going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They won the league or promotion. Lads were devastated. Remember Grant Spencer just sat in the fucking corner.
Naked, wasn't he? What's
wrong with you? Even I was like, what's wrong with you?
Weird.
Yeah. No, Danny Warrender was crying.
Yeah, but Edgy.
Yeah, there was
Spenno. Wizard.
Wizard was fully in tears.
But And there's no joke behind it. You realise what you've got.
Standards again.
I remember there's a still photo somewhere. It's one of the best pictures I've seen of our Rangers managers. Byrne, Grant Shenson, the goalkeeper's on the floor in bits. Byrne's consoling him. And it's a fucking brilliant picture to show how far we'd come. Because at one time, I'd have been screaming and shouting, "You fucking useless cunt. You see the two goals in the last minute. We're not getting the playoffs."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Byrne was never like that anyway. He was very much an empathiser, if that's a word. So we missed out.
But that Rami team was like, it was unbelievable.
They're all like best mates, weren't they?
It was a.
Let them have a. Like, we let them cry. No one said anything. And when they walked in the bar, like, John would be like, "Fuck me, if you stop crying now, you." Like,
and go on and on and on. Yeah, if I get a cheap laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I struggle with 6 months later.
And then it was like, pint, wasn't it? All the way home. And
it was probably the best time of my life.
Yeah.
With no pressure. Yeah. None. Because listen, we got. So when we left Rami, we were league above Salford, remember? The league above where you'd gone, because you'd all dropped down when they'd taken over.
Yeah.
We were fifth in a playoffs of where we are now, with Ratcliffe, right? So essentially, when me and Byrne left Rami, we've only ever managed one league above that. So for all that journey and all them promotions, we only managed the league above where we took Rami to. Do you understand where I'm going?
Yeah, because you dropped back down to Salford.
Yeah. And then we've ended up back there, and we didn't take the promotion to Salford. So took them, and even we were there, all of us going, "What the fuck are we doing here? Lads are on £80 a week, smashing." We were unbelievable. We played Ilkeston, or Ilston, however you pronounce it. What's the boy called up front for Southampton?
Shea Adams
played up front for him. Dan Udo played for him, who played Football League. Harry Maguire's brother, who was a top player back then. David Morgan, who's at Southport, played for Aki Stanley last year. unbelievable academy that they had, that they all came through. We absolutely popped them off the pitch. We had a top, incredible side. However, we had 11 top players. So if one player got injured, we were fucked.
Like we were,
me and Byrne were still on the bench. In these days, I mean, right. Byrne could still do a bit, to be fair, but he chose to stock to be the dugout. I was a fucking cripple. Playing at a level that I'd played six times, 10 years before, not that long ago, but yeah. 6-7 years, but you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So we was in big trouble. And what started to happen was he'd turned down FC United. They put an approach in for him. Gassi had turned down Salford at the beginning of that season. Yeah. I'll get onto that story. But he turned down, and everyone was, Danny Warrender had left and come back, but lads were turning down. And I remember me and Byrne having a drink and talking about, we're going to start losing players. Gaz Stopforth, everyone, we're after Scott Byrne. And what we didn't want was, what we built over 5 years, 6 years, was it all being splintered, him going somewhere, someone else going somewhere. And it got to the stage where the next job that comes up, if there's, and we were thinking National League North.
Yeah.
Or a bigger club in the NPL, like an FC United, that type of
where you
that
had a bigger budget and you could take them lads with you.
There you go.
Yeah.
But every club that was coming in was sort of a league below, top end. Do you get what I mean? But not a Salford.
Yeah.
So we turned down two, three offers then. What happened was, we'd it was about the 3rd of Jan, I think, when Phil had left. And I'd gone out for a scram up in Affixside with my wife, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And out there, there's no reception or anything. I remember coming out, and he went ding-ding, and it was Tony Cunningham, voicemail. Tony Cunningham had never rang me. And I thought, that's weird. I was thinking the worst of, like, was Harry all right or something?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I picked up the voicemail and said, can you ring me ASAP? So I've called him. And he's gone, I've had an approach from Salford. Right, okay. Now,
you obviously knew what had been happening with Salford.
100%.
The 6 months prior.
You could remember, we're telling all our players, don't go fucking there. You're not going to play if Gareth Seddon Webber's there. You're not going to fucking get a game at Salford. Oh, it won't work out. They'll leave after 6 months. And it phone goes.
You knob heads with cameras out.
Yeah, but that's what we did, didn't we? Yeah. It was like that, weren't it? We would say big timers. Now, what you got to remember, Gaz, it's 2 weeks before that. We played you.
Well, this is the first time we met.
Yeah.
Right? So there was a kickoff on the pitch. If you remember.
Sam Maidley
and
I don't know what the other Sebe. Guy.
Sebe.
Yeah.
So I jumped in between, because I was captain, I thought, I jumped in between, tried to start, and then I think you've gone to push me out of the way, and we've kind of like pushed each other, and you've got sent off.
We've ended
and
up.
And I got sent off.
I've like fucking palmed Sam Maidley, and he's flown over.
Yeah.
And you've come running over. Now I'm in that fucking mode. You're captain, trying to be Mr. Sensible, and we've just gone bang. We've ended up with each other.
Yeah.
Something like the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, scruff of the neck.
The rest come running over.
I was thinking,
sent you off.
Going to fill me in a minute.
sent you off. Sent me off. I'm thinking, this is fucking brilliant. They've lost their best man. It doesn't matter if I've been sent off. Yeah. Burns done things. So they go down to 10 men.
I think scored as well.
I think it was 2-1.
Stevie Housing gave it
you
away.
Scored, didn't you?
Yeah.
To make it, and I think Spenol scored. It was 2-1 and you got sent off, and we ended up winning 3-1 later on in the game. So I don't know if you remember, I came in the changing room.
You're
in the shower.
So this is how we met, yeah. So I'd just been sent off, me and you. I've gone back in like them little porter cabins. I've stripped off, I'm naked, I've put my towel to the side, and I was thinking, fucking idiot, I can't believe he's fucking done this and done that. Anyway, I've gone to turn to go in the shower, doors burst open, I've pat myself, I've turned around, I'm fully naked, you know what I remember?
Yeah, I do, I'm
remember fully
it all,
naked,
yeah.
Looking at you like this, you're in your tracksuit, I'm thinking, this goes off for you, I'm like, Willie's like...
that's what I was fucking aiming for, I was grabbing all of it.
You'll never hit that. I was thinking, I can't fight this man anyway, I'm not fighting him, especially naked, and then you walked up to me, and I was thinking, he's gonna hit me, and you put your hand out.
I apologise,
I think. And you went, I apologise there, I was out of order. And I was thinking, thank God for that. So I remember shaking your hand and I'm stood there fully naked.
But my job had been done. So I got rid of their best player.
Did you know you were joining then?
No, did we fuck? So that happened. So that's where I was going with the story. So I followed you in. Yeah. And then I had to go in the bar. And Karen and what's Karen's mate called? Tammy. Remember Tammy?
Yeah.
They were stood there in the bar looking out of the fucking little window at the time. And she went, oh, you're aggressive. Like, and I was like,
I bet she did.
Yeah, you're aggressive. And I went, you've not seen nothing yet. And it was like that type of macho thing where I'm walking away cringing, thinking, what the fuck have I just said there? I got myself a Diet Coke and sat in the corner watching the game and everyone left me to it. So there was nothing. There was nothing, absolutely nothing in it.
See, I honestly thought you'd come into the change room and apologised.
Thinking,
and shut my hand, because you knew you were taking the job a couple of weeks later and you were thinking, oh, I need to keep him on my side.
Well, before that game...
I wanted to get rid of you, you dick.
Before, yeah. Before that game, the game after you, so we played you on a Tuesday, we were playing Stockport in the FA Trophy on the Saturday. We were flying.
Right.
And on the fucking Saturday, we were playing Stockport, which is the Rammy's biggest ever game.
See, I've got a little bit more respect for you now because I thought you'd only done it because you wanted to keep me on your side because you knew you were coming in as manager.
If... A lot of it's showmanship.
That's fair play, though.
A lot of it's showmanship, right? And what I mean by that is players play the game on the pitch. You were very good at it with a crowd and enticing people. You've become a bit of one of them on the pitch now where the fans will have a pop at you. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
But I did it with the players because I knew what was the worst case scenario that happened. I get sent off. Well, if you come with me, they're down to 10 men. That's how I thought. And I know Bernard would think, what the fuck are you going on about, you lunatic? But that's how I used to see myself was if I can get in your head during the game, either put you off or
well, it worked. I got sent off.
100%. And we won the game.
Yeah.
So
I thought you'd walked in, seen me naked, felt sorry for me, shook my hand and walked
in. Yeah. The job. So we then played Stockport on a Saturday, got beat, plays Kings Lynn away. Remember that game?
When we had to, like...
Fucking, I blowtorched the pitch. Well,
I was blowtorching the pitch about an hour
before. Because it
was
frozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Harry would call
them... What do you mean, with a blowtorch?
Yeah. We had metal sheet on the pitch. Your dad was on there. Everyone was on there. About 30 of us on the pitch, blowtorching the pitch with metal sheets. And we gets the game on, gets beat free. Fucking
dick free, man.
Why didn't we just wait until Tuesday night?
Yeah.
And then on the following Saturday, we played Kings Lynn away. Because that was our last game. Pretty sure that was our last game. There might have been one more after that where we finished with Rammy. And then the call came. And then we took the Salford gig. What happened with him? Was a disgrace. Him leaving Salford the way he left Salford was a disgrace.
I don't want to bring it up, but I scored 18 and 16. When you
unbelievable what you did. Apart from when you decided to go abroad on your modelling thing.
Yeah.
I don't think Salford would have got to where it got to as quick as it did without Darlington.
Oh,
you must be paying Garrison. Lee Gaskell was getting paid more than you at Darlow. How do I know? Because he's our best mate.
Yeah.
We couldn't afford him. We could have done it if the owners wanted to. The owners didn't see the value for money in him. And Gary's explained to Rob what Andy Pilliard told him when he'd asked him for advice. And Andy Pilliard said, every manager will have a plateau season. When they do, get rid of them. I read this page. In my head, that was a threat.